Are we in World War III is a fair question in 2026. The honest answer depends on definition rather than a headline. A world war is not a body count or a mood. It is a condition, and historians argue about it for decades after the fact. Judge the definition yourself rather than absorbing whatever your news feed is telling you. Preppers tend to ask these types of questions before the masses that expect corporate news to tell them. Most preppers are casual preppers looking to be sufficiently prepared for common scenarios. People most commonly think of doomsday preppers when they hear the word, even though that is a small percentage of the community. However, a major world war or even war on local soil can have you preparing in a different way. So, ask yourself, are the increasingly active wars around the world going to impact you locally? If so, how do you prepare for those impacts? Nobody agreed on what to call World War II either. Naming a war from inside it is harder than it looks. The last one proves that in both directions. The phrase World War II reached print in the Manchester Guardian in 1919, 20 years before the war it now describes. British officer Charles Repington titled his 1920 memoir The First World War because he expected a series of them. Time magazine called it 10 days in. The September 11, 1939 issue announced that World War II had begun the previous week at 5:20 in the morning, Polish time. The United States was not involved yet. The fighting had not left Europe. Agreement took 6 more years. Before Pearl Harbor, most Americans said the European War. The War Department letter recommending World War II as the official name is dated September 10, 1945. That is 5 days after the war ended. Federal law still defines the war as starting on December 7, 1941, which puts its first 2 years outside the legal definition. Many historians date the beginning to Japan's invasion of China in 1937. So, a journalist named it in 10 days, but the government took 6 years. The law never settled on the same start date. The commute continues and the stores stay stocked, so your mind files each new headline beside the last one instead of adding them up. Normalcy bias tends to keep people in a complacent state as long as they are not feeling the war personally, but these are not normal times and the headlines are stacking up quickly. What turned separate wars into one war? Japan had been fighting in China since 1937. Italy invaded Ethiopia in 1935. Spain burned from 1936 to 1939. Anyone reading a newspaper in 1938 saw unrelated wars on separate continents, which is close to what you see today. The change arrived in a single year. In 1941, Germany invaded the Soviet Union. Japan attacked American and British territory across the Pacific. Germany and Italy declared war on the United States. Those moves recalibrated a set of regional conflicts into one continuous war. The count of wars barely moved. The sides did, and everyone ended up on one of two teams. The signs of linkage. Judge the present against what actually merged the last one. Anyone asking are we in World War III can check specific conditions instead of vibes, overlapping belligerents. One power fighting in more than one theater, with the same partners turning up on the same side of separate wars. Shared resources. Weapons, munitions and money drawn from one pool, so a decision in one war sets the terms of another. Hardening alliances. Blocks consolidating into two recognizable sides rather than splitting or negotiating separately. Score those honestly and some evidence points one way while some points the other. These perspectives help answer the question rather than theorizing. Are we in World War III? Or many wars at once? Start with the count, because it is measured rather than argued. The Uppsala Conflict Data Program has tracked organized violence since 1946. Its 2025 figures broke records that had stood for most of a lifetime. In 2025, 65 conflicts involved a state on one or both sides, the highest number in the entire dataset. 8 occurred between states rather than inside them, the highest since counting began, after doubling 2 years running. 13 reached the intensity researchers classify as war, meaning at least 1,000 battle deaths in a single year. That is the most since 1992. Europe-Russia's invasion of Ukraine entered its 5th year in 2026. Uppsala recorded at least 94,700 fatalities there in 2025 alone, roughly 62% of all battle deaths on Earth. Combined casualties on both sides passed 2 million by mid-2026. Peace talks have convened repeatedly and produced nothing of substance. The part that reaches a kitchen table sits west of the fighting. The European Union attributes cyber attacks and sabotage against European infrastructure to a Russian intelligence unit. That includes a December strike that disrupted a Polish plant supplying heat to about 500,000 customers. A separate assessment concluded Russia likely launched drones from Shadow Fleet vessels, shutting down civilian aviation across Europe repeatedly between 2024 and 2026. In May, residents of Vilnius sheltered in underground parking garages during unidentified drone activity. That was a first for a NATO capital. Poland's prime minister has told his country to be ready for a major conflict by 2027. NATO's most senior military officer has called a Russian move on Polish or Baltic territory realistic. Europeans are already losing heat to sabotage and already taking cover, which is a household story at this point. The Middle East. The war between the United States, Israel, and Iran opened on February 28, 2026 with strikes that killed Iran's supreme leader. Iran answered by closing the Strait of Hormuz, the choke point that roughly a fifth of the world's oil moves through. The United States answered that with a naval blockade of Iranian ports. A memorandum of understanding in June paused the shooting and July restarted it. Oil that cannot leave the Strait of Hormuz reprices fuel, freight, and your groceries everywhere else within weeks. Israel's campaign in Gaza continues under a ceasefire that has not stopped the killing. The Palestinian Health Ministry counts at least 970 people killed there since the ceasefire's first full day in October. A United Nations Commission of Inquiry, several major human rights organizations, and a number of governments have described the campaign as genocide, a characterization Israel rejects despite the evidence. In Lebanon, United Nations peacekeepers logged 125 Israeli air violations of Lebanese airspace across 4 days in late July, totaling more than 418 hours of overflight. More than 4,300 people have been killed in Lebanon since March. Israeli strikes on a southern Lebanese town resumed in early August. A ceasefire is a document rather than a condition, which is worth remembering the next time you see one announced. The Pacific and Korea. China and Japan have been in a diplomatic deep freeze since November, when Japan's prime minister said her country could come to Taiwan's defense. After a Japanese destroyer transited the Taiwan Strait in April, China's foreign ministry, defense ministry, and Eastern Theater Command all told Tokyo to step back from the brink. The Theater Command launched combat readiness patrols and moved warships toward Okinawa. North Korea test-fired ballistic missiles in January, March, April, and May of 2026. In late March, Kim Jong-un oversaw a test of a solid-fuel intercontinental engine. It produced 2,500 kilonewtons of thrust, up from 1,971 the previous September. The January launch came within hours of American forces capturing Venezuela's president in Caracas. Read that timing as deliberate, because separate wars rarely stay unaware of each other. The Western Hemisphere. On January 3, 2026, a United States military operation in Caracas captured Nicolas Maduro and his wife. The president announced that the United States would run the country until a transition occurred. Cuba came next in the rhetoric. Southern Command has run a multi-agency tabletop exercise preparing for military action there. A senior official said everything is on the table while no invasion is planned or imminent. Then Greenland. Denmark's Parliamentary Foreign Policy Committee called an emergency meeting. France opened a consulate in Nuuk and deployed additional military forces to the island. European Union ambassadors met an emergency session. European leaders held an urgently convened summit in Brussels prompted by American statements about taking Greenland by force. Tariff threats against 8 NATO members were issued and then withdrawn. The use of force was ruled out in late January. By July, the demand for control of the island was back, with more threats of invasion on the table. Africa carries the displacement. Sudan is the largest displacement emergency on Earth. Close to 1 in 3 Sudanese has been driven from home across the first 1,000 days of that war, at a pace of roughly 5 displacement events every week. Fighting in Al-Fashir displaced more than 100,000 people within days. The Rapid Support Forces were the deadliest non-state armed group in the world in 2025, with at least 4,471 recorded civilian deaths. Researchers call that an undercount. Add the insurgency running across Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger. Add the war in eastern Congo. In South Sudan, 9.9 million people need humanitarian assistance in 2026, which is about 84% of the population. More than 117 million people worldwide are now displaced by conflict, violence, and instability. That is a far wider picture than the two wars you see on television. The arithmetic that answers the question. Organized violence killed roughly 120,000 people in 2021, 310,000 in 2022, 154,000 in 2023, 187,000 in 2024, and 244,600 in 2025. So, in a 5-year span, about 1 million people. The Second World War killed somewhere between 70 and 85 million in 6 years, which works out close to 1 million a month. 5 years of the present era is therefore about 1 month of the last World War. Both facts stand together. More separate wars are burning than in any year since 1945. They have not merged into the thing that killed a million people a month. So, the answer to the question "Are we in World War III?" depends on which fact you weigh. Count the active wars and it looks like yes. Weigh the coalitions hardening into a new world order and it looks like not yet. Measure the casualties and the distance between many wars and one world war is still measured in orders of magnitude. Two of those three counts are rising right now. The third decides what you end up calling it. How World War III could ignite? If we are not in a world war at this point, what could trigger it? What if the US continues the trend of taking over countries like in Venezuela and repeats the process in Cuba? Would the US really invade Greenland and what would be the NATO response? What if Russia decides to invade Poland as well? What if China decides to conquer Taiwan and would Japan and the US intervene? These and many other possibilities are being discussed by governments around the world as likely scenarios, making the situation a tinderbox, preparing for another world war. Whether or not are we in World War III gets answered yes, one shared inventory ties every scenario together. By the time heavy fighting with Iran paused in April, American forces had fired at least half their Patriot interceptors and roughly 30% of their Tomahawks. Senior commanders now put expended TOT interceptors near 80% of stock. Replacements arrive at about 20 Patriots and 15 Tomahawks a month, no TOT deliveries are forecast for 2026, and analysts put the rebuild at 3 years or more. Those are the same interceptors that would defend Taiwan, and the same ones Ukraine keeps asking for. Japan and South Korea have both raised the shortage directly. A war in one theater measurably lowers the deterrent in two others. Watch that math. It is how separate fires start pulling on each other, and how a war on the far side of the planet reaches your monthly bills. Fuel and groceries. Fuel is priced globally, so a squeeze anywhere lands everywhere. Food follows fuel, because everything you eat rides a truck. 3 weeks of ordinary meals in the pantry turns a price spike into an inconvenience instead of a budget emergency. Distant fighting has emptied American grocery shelves, https://www.prepper.life/post/when-war-abroad-empties-plates-at-home, before, and nothing about that has changed. Longer squeezes produce food shortages, https://www.prepper.life/post/food-shortages, rather than price bumps, so buy the depth in normal weeks when nobody else is competing for it. The grid and the lines. The rules of engagement have recently changed. What was once considered a war crime has become a common threat in today's conflicts. Bombing and destroying civilian infrastructure is occurring in most of the mentioned conflicts. Power outages caused by military strikes can last for an extended period of time. Common 1 to 3 day power backup preparedness is not enough in these types of situations. The likelihood of local power infrastructure being attacked should be considered in your preparations. This translates to communication as well. Cell tower damage can interrupt the communication you depend on for everyday life and emergencies. Cash and the markets. Markets move on war news within hours, and in both directions. Swings rather than collapse is the honest expectation for the next few months. Cards and ATMs depend on power and networks. A few $100 in small bills at home covers the gap between an outage and a working payment system. Cash on hand, https://www.prepper.life/post/the-role-of-cash and other valuable resources, does work your card cannot when the terminal is dark. Beyond common preparedness. Where you live changes the approach more than how worried you are. Urban Preppers, https://www.prepper.life/type/urban-prepper, work with the least square footage of anyone. They also sit closest to the deepest supply chains in the country, so a small reserve restocked often beats a big one bought once. Rural Preppers, https://www.prepper.life/type/rural-prepper, have room to build and a longer drive to fill it, so depth does the job that proximity does downtown. Suburban households typically have more room than city apartments and are less of a target in a wartime scenario. Wars impact local economics, prices, supply and more, but they bring many other threats of war, as well. How close someone lives to a potential target, how likely an attack would occur and if family members will be deployed. Consider these scenarios as you plan for the global escalation of war. Do the basic preparations first. Top off the water containers this week and set a reminder to rotate them. Buy an extra week, or month, of the food your family already eats. Keep the fuel tank full and a go bag packed. Draw a few $100 in small bills. Check that one radio in the house works without the grid, and that somebody besides you knows where it lives. Put a get-home bag in the vehicle you drive most so you are prepared for a disruption while at work or during travels. Then answer the question for yourself. Nobody will announce World War III in time for you to prepare. A journalist named the last World War in 10 days. The government took 6 years to agree with him. Neither timeline changed what a household in Manchester needed in the pantry in 1940. The label arrives late, but the shortages arrive first. Evaluate the active conflicts, stay informed, beyond corporate news, and pay attention to the patterns. As global blocs start forming in new ways, you want to understand how that threat could come home to roost. Serious analysts land in different places on the same facts. One argued recently that anyone expecting a single cataclysmic escalation has the wrong picture. A loose alignment of Russia, China, and Iran is already well underway, and the NATO alliance has been strained. A new world war has not been officially declared, but global conflicts are accumulating like a hurricane in the Gulf. Deciding whether or not this is a threat you take seriously dictates how far you take your preparation planning. Do you continue focusing on the basics, water, food, power and supplies, or do you prepare for nuclear fallout? Are we in World War III will be settled by historians long after it stops mattering to your family. The test is the useful part. Watch whether the belligerents overlap, whether the weapons come from one pool, and whether the alliances harden into two sides. Right now the world holds more separate wars than any year since 1945 and a small fraction of the last one's toll. 3 days to 3 months of water, food, fuel, cash and light covers the plausible version of this. It covers your hurricane season too. Be prepared, not scared.